In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Ba'una. And as we just heard the passage that we are all familiar with, and this is the subject of the struggle for many of us about the command of the Lord that He gave to us, and this is given without exception to all of those who believe in the Lord Christ, that we should love our enemies. And this is something that we always wonder how we should do this, how can we change our hearts, and this is beyond our ability. And many sermons we have heard before about this kind of struggle, but today I want to focus on something before the struggle about loving our enemies. Until we get there, as believers, we believe only that we have only one enemy. This is the enemy of mankind, that's Satan. Even those people who are persecuting the church or coming against it, they are just tools in his hand. Whenever he is pushing them, they do his will. And that's why they are not really the enemy. They are just victims to Satan and his work in their hearts. Today I'm going to talk about, before we struggle to love our enemies, there are certain considerations we have to keep in mind and four principles we have to be aware of. Number one is that we cannot struggle to love enemy or a friend or a neighbor before first we learn how to love God and taste of His love and forgiveness. Until the moment comes when we realize how much we transgressed His commands, how much we hurt His feelings, how much we disobeyed Him, and He still forgives us, there is no way that we can forgive others. Most of the time, we are focused on our own emotions, how I feel because of the hurt and what this person did to me. But if I turn my focus into what did I do to God and how I hurt Him almost daily, and the difference between us hurting God and others hurting us is that God sees our hurt every day. Maybe many times people speak behind our back, we do not know. And maybe we hear one out of 100 times a bad word about us. But we hurt God in His eyes every day. And when we come to ask for forgiveness, we know and believe that we will never be turned away. We will never be like rejected from His forgiveness. Until the moment comes, we taste of His forgiveness and His love, and we know how much we hurt Him and He still forgives us, it is very difficult for us to start from the point that I want to forgive somebody else. So this is before we struggle to love my enemy, I have to understand how much God loves me, how much He forgives me almost every single day. The second principle is how we should learn how to genuinely love those who love us. We always say, how can I love my enemy? The question actually should be, how should I love those who love me? Because sometimes really we do not know how to love those people who care about us the most. Many people in our lives around us, family members, household people, my neighbors, people around me in the church, we struggle to love those people even though they love us. Maybe before I struggle to love my enemy, I have to learn how to love, period. Because if I don't know how to love, I cannot love anybody, either enemy or a friend or anyone. And we have to question always our way of love. We assume that we love others, but I have to apply what does it mean to love according to the definition of love in the Bible. Love means a sacrifice. This is how love is. We easily love those people who give to us and always meeting our expectations. But is this truly love? So again, let us make sure first that we love those people who love us before we start saying to God, aid our struggle to love our enemies. The third principle we should try always to remind ourselves with is to differentiate between disagreement and animosity. This is something common among us, especially us, the Middle Eastern or the Coptic people. We don't take disagreement easily. We find that if someone is a friend of mine, he has to agree with everything I say. If he doesn't agree, then he is an enemy. But we can learn to live by disagreement. I can disagree with people in my household and still we are friends. We can disagree with anyone in the world, and we are friends. Maybe this is one of the virtues that we notice from this culture that we live in. People can disagree with one another and speak even very ugly things about each other publicly, but at the end of the day, they live as friends. No one is planning to kill somebody. This is not the case, unfortunately, with our community back in our area. We don't take differences easily. The fourth one that will be the focus of also the sermon today is, before we struggle to love our enemies, let us learn how not to create enemies. Because sometimes we make the enemy, and then we say, how can I love him? It's easier to start from the beginning, not to make an enemy. How we create an enemy? We create enemies in one of two ways. One of them, which is very common and very popular, that we create an enemy in my own mind. I think of people in an evil way, and I label and I categorize them. This is an enemy, this and this and this, for different reasons. And another way is, sometimes we create enemies with our own attitude and behavior, how we act and how we deal with others. And then we wonder at the end of the day, why this person, why those people, they hate us. Maybe this is something that I contributed in. So before I struggle to love my enemy, let us not first create an enemy. Let us go to the Bible and examine some of the examples about how people created enemies. We can learn from them, and we can avoid their mistakes. The first example is Cain. Cain is the first person who created an enemy in his own mind, and his enemy, unfortunately, was his own brother. We didn't hear Abel saying anything. He was just a man of God, and he offered sacrifice that happened to be accepted by God. But this was the reason why Cain considered Abel an enemy. Abel was a kind person. He did not do any harm to Cain. Why did Cain feel this kind of displeasure with his brother? Simply, Abel was a reminder of Cain's shortcomings. Every time I look to him, he will remind me that I'm a bad person. The problem was not in Abel. The problem was in the heart and mind of Cain. And the right way to deal with it is that I change. Then what is good about Abel that I can imitate? But in Cain's mind, no. Let Abel disappear, because he is always before my eyes reminding me that I'm not good enough. This status made Abel an enemy while he was not. Cain's jealousy and envy turned Abel to be an enemy in his mind. This is a very common reason that people think of others as enemies, simply because they are reminders of my shortcomings and my failure sometimes. We all have areas where we struggle with. We should not be angry at those people who are successful in the same areas. We should not turn against them with our wrath as if they are the reason of our suffering, simply because they are not. The same also applied on Judas Iscariot. Judas looked to Jesus all the time in a way as a person I'm not comfortable with. It was not about the money, let me tell you. He was the treasurer, and he was holding the box with him, the treasurer box with him. So it's actually of his best interest to keep the Lord Jesus alive and gain more money so he can steal it. But in Judas' mind, Jesus was a reminder of his failure to love, why he is so good and why I am that bad. This is the status now in the world that we live in. Why do people hate Christians? Why they attack Christianity that much? Why they consider Christianity and Christians are enemies? Simply because Christianity reminds them of their failure. Remind them with what they are called to live by, and they are still not able to do it. So in order for their minds to be comfortable, then let those people disappear. Let me promote doubt and make them to doubt their belief. They are like Cain. They hate the righteous, and they consider him as an enemy, simply because they serve as a reminder of their shortcomings. A second example in the Bible was King Saul. King Saul pursued David all the days of his life. King Saul was so much distracted with this kind of animosity. He lived day and night thinking, when I'm going to capture this man and kill him. And he spoke very bad about David in many occasions, considered him as an enemy. What was the problem with King Saul? Saul was an insecure leader. An insecure leader always feels threatened. Anyone around him that's successful, that's of ability, will consider as a threat, while he was not. Instead of gaining King David to his side and make use of his talents and abilities, he considered him as an enemy, and then he competed with him all the time until he lost his own salvation. Very sad end that happened to King Saul. But why was the reason? Was David at any time a threat? Was him an enemy at all? Never. Never happened. Even when it happened that Saul fell in the hand of David, David did not touch him, did not hurt him. And he told him twice, "I am not after you." And Saul never believed this. Saul projected on David his insecurity and his competitiveness and his evil. He thought that David wants to take the throne. This was not the case. This kind of projection came because of the evil in the heart and mind of Saul. Saul lived troubled and tormented with the idea that there's an enemy hunting for me, while there was never. The enemy was in Saul's mind. Another person also who created enemies in his own mind was King Ahab. We read about him in 1 Kings from chapter 20, maybe to 24. One of the most evil kings of Israel. He had some kind of enmity with Elijah. Elijah was the man of God, and Ahab hated him. Why? What did Elijah do? Nothing. Ahab said to him when he met with him one time, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" I was wondering, actually, maybe Elijah was asking in his mind, what I did ever do to this man to call me an enemy? The problem was Elijah. Elijah confronted Ahab for what he did. Ahab stole the vineyard of a man called Naboth, Naboth al-Yezra'eli, and killed the man to take his inheritance. When he confronted him, Ahab felt, this shouldn't happen. This prophet should not disagree with me. He hated Elijah because Elijah was brave enough to tell the king, "You are wrong." Sometimes people who come to us sincerely to tell you are mistaken, there is something need to change about you in a kind and loving and sincere way, sometimes we consider them as enemies. They don't like us simply because they told us that we are wrong. On another occasion, Elijah also hated another prophet called Micaiah, the son of Imla. A very interesting story, we read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Ahab wanted to go in a war, and he wanted to see if God would be with him. He had in his kingdom 400 false prophets. He liked them. Why? Simply because they agreed with him on everything. But there was one man in his kingdom that he spoke about him and he said, "I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil." He considered the truth that Micaiah speaks evil, and he hated him because Micaiah did not flatter the king, did not just disagree with him to make him happy. What happened is Micaiah told him, "If you go to war, you will be killed." And then the decision was, then you go to prison again. And what happened to Ahab? He was killed. Ahab did not know truly who is his enemy. The enemy was himself. The enemy was in his mind. Micaiah was the only person who cared about him. Those 400 false prophets were truly his enemies because they told him what he wants to hear, not the truth. So this is something we need to ask ourselves also. Am I creating an enemy in my own mind with those people who tell me the truth? Do I feel displeased with their honesty and feel like they don't like me because they speak to me what I do not want to hear? So these are examples of people who created enemies in their own mind, Cain or Ahab or Saul. We have another two examples about those who created enemies, by what they did. The first example is the king of King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Rehoboam came to a kingdom that is united and very strong. He inherited a throne that was even not matched throughout the whole world. Solomon left him this kind of a big and wealthy kingdom in his hand. When the people came to Rehoboam asking that he would ease their burden, give them some break, they worked very hard with Solomon. I needed King Rehoboam to feel their agony. What happened? He answered them in a very arrogant and cruel way. He told them, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." This answer turned the people away from him and made them enemies to him. At that time, the division happened in Israel, and 10 tribes under the leadership of Jeroboam split from the kingdom of Israel, and we know the rest of the story. Now, in the mind of Rehoboam, when he went back home, he maybe thought of Jeroboam as an enemy and people of Israel as enemies. They did not do what they are supposed to do. The question should be asked to himself. What did I do to end up with a divided kingdom? It is my attitude and my behavior and my action and my words. Rehoboam made the enemies. I wonder if he heard ever after this, he should struggle to love his enemies, and he wondered in his mind, how should I love those people who hurt me and hurt the kingdom? The whole problem was made by himself, was a self-inflicting issue. The last example of a man who was a man of God, but he also contributed into creating some kind of enmity. Sadly, the enmity was between his own children with Jacob. We know that he has 12 sons. 10 of them hated Joseph and hated him to the point of thinking to kill him. This does not excuse them from the blame that we should not hate anybody. But Jacob should ask himself, what is my part in this? Jacob favored Joseph. He might have reasons in his mind, why should I love Joseph more than others? But for a father to do this kind of different treatment between his children, it was too much for his children to take. They became enemies to Joseph. And why? Why did this happen? Because Jacob did something about this. He made it felt and known, I favor my little son more than anybody else. Jacob is an example of how sometimes we create enmity within our own families. We say we care, we love, we do our best in order for everyone around us to be in the best shape and form. But sometimes we do these things, maybe out of ignorance, maybe out of carelessness, that we make enemies in our own household. We treat maybe people in a way that's not considerate. It doesn't take much to be kind or to be attentive to the need of the people around you and household. To raise children feeling secured with the love of their parents. To treat your in-laws as you treat your own fathers and mother. All of these really would make at the end an atmosphere of peace. But when we fail short, we create enemies, and then we come and say, how can I love my enemy? The question should be, how should I avoid making an enemy in the first place? Today, the command that we heard and we will always hear, part of us being Christians, is to love those people who hate us. There are many people who will hate us without a cause, without a reason. And for those people, the struggle is valid. We have to love them. We have always to make sure that we don't hate anyone whatsoever. And maybe this is a subject for another talk. But before we go into this, let us go and ask ourselves, is this truly an enmity, or am I creating this in my own mind, or I'm creating this with my own attitude and behavior? May the Lord to grant us a life of peace towards everyone, where we love everyone and we wish the best for all the people around us, even those who persecute us. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.